Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
A lot of you hanging on. We'll go to Ray, Columbia, South Carolina, listening on the web. Hi, Ray.
Hank, thank you so much for taking my call this evening. Here's my question. I'm a pastor, and I have some young people from my church who have been involved in events that have been hosted and sponsored by International House of Prayer, better known, I think, as IHOP. And here recently, they were reading some articles on the internet that suggested that IHOP may be a cult. Now, I've done my own research, and I've formulated my own opinion, but I've been listening to you for a number of years now. Really respect your perspective. Do you have any perspective or familiarity with IHOP in any sense of who they are and what they're about?
Yeah, we do. In fact, we did an article in the Christian Research Journal on Mike Bickle and IHOP, so it is available on the web at equip.org. But this, I think, is a very dangerous movement. Whether you call it a cult or not, maybe something that people want to debate, but it certainly is cultic. I mean, you have a guy who is suggesting, not only suggesting, but overtly ratifying the statement that the apostles of the modern day are greater than the apostles and prophets, even in biblical times. I'll give you an example of Mike Bickle as he's talking about a prophecy by Bob Jones.
Paul was anxious to talk to the end-time apostles and prophets more than the end-time apostles and prophets would have been to talk to Paul. He said because what they would do would go far greater in the glory of God.
Amen.
And the saints in the New Testament would wait in line to greet the apostles coming from this generation.
I mean, think about this. Here you have a guy in the present saying that the apostles and prophets, and by the way, the entirety of our faith is established upon the testimony of the prophets and the apostles, such that we say that they have given us the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, a foundation that is not going to be relaid, it's been laid permanently. And you can see attestation to this in the book of Revelation, where you see the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and you have the 12 tribes of Israel. And they form, in essence, the full complement of God's people by extension. And now you have a guy in the modern epic saying that what he's doing and what end-time apostles and prophets like himself are doing is far greater, and therefore Paul and Moses and Jeremiah and Isaiah are going to stand in line to get their autograph. I think this is preposterous, and how people fall for this kind of rhetoric is quite amazing to me.
Sure, thank you so much for that, that'll be meaningful, particularly to those that are part of my congregation who are listening to it. So thank you, and God bless you. Continue your ministry.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Hannah, Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Hank. I would really appreciate it if you could enlighten me on when Jesus says that if a man divorces his wife and remarries, that he commits adultery and forces her to commit adultery if she remarries. And to help guide your answer, I am seeking truth because I left an abusive marriage, and I know that I can't go back to that situation, but I believe very strongly that the covenant that I entered into with this person shouldn't be taken lightly, and I pray for him. I just don't really feel free to move on just because we're divorced. But I also, when I left him, I left a religious, very legalistic, judgmental community where submission led to violating my own conscience. So I feel like God's bringing me out of unhealthy perceptions. I don't want to be legalistic, but I also, you know, want God's best practice. You know, I know I live in a permissive culture, so if you could just really enlighten me, that would be great.
Sure. Well, let's look at the covenant basis of marriage to begin with. If you look at the principles, they involve spiritual partnership, mutual edification of husband and wife in the pursuit of the will of God. We have ample evidence of that in both the Old and New Testament. Another purpose given in Scripture is the procreation of children and the nurture of the human family. A third principle is the development of spiritual and physical intimacy, the fulfillment of sexual pleasures and conjugal love. And a fourth principle would be protection against lust, immorality, and sexual temptations. So when you understand marriage as a covenant, it follows that violation of that covenant could constitute a ground for divorce. And therefore, as Michael Ross has written in an article in the Christian Research Journal, adultery and willful desertion are obvious and potentially irreparable violations of covenant love. And it would seem that there are other sins against marriage that could rise to the same level of covenant unfaithfulness, and that would include physical abuse, refusal to work and support the family, illegal activities, refusal to engage in love and care for children, unrepentant addiction to pornography, alcoholism, drug abuse, etc. Having said all of that, I think you allude to the right perspective in the prologue to the question, and that is, as Christians, what we're not doing is looking for ways to get out of marriages, but rather ways of demonstrating the reality through marriage of Christ's relationship with the church's body. So we shouldn't take divorce lightly. God hates divorce. But having said that, there certainly are grounds for divorce, just as I have articulated. And when someone is divorced for legitimate reasons, including abuse and so forth, there's no real reason that within the confines of good counseling, within the body of Christ, that someone can't come to a relationship with someone else that's ordained by God.
So you're saying someone else is in a new relationship?
Yeah. I don't preclude that possibility. Now, the reason I made careful qualifications is because I don't think this is something that you're taking lightly or something that should be taken lightly. Rather, it's something that should be considered in the context of a healthy, well-balanced church, where you're getting good spiritual counsel so that this is not driven by emotions, but rather is driven by being consistent with the precepts in the will and the Word of God.
I see. Okay.
What might be helpful to you, Hannah, is to read the article that we have in the Christian Research Journal, because it will parse all of this out for you. There are biblical grounds for divorce. We shouldn't take divorce lightly. Once you're divorced, you can't unscramble the egg. And if your divorce was a biblical divorce and God has led you into a relationship with someone else, and that relationship is consistent with His principles and precepts, and you're getting the counsel of spiritually mature people within the local body of Christ, I don't see that you can absolutely rule out the possibility that you can get remarried. In fact, I would see the inverse of that. I see the possibility of getting remarried, and that may be a great benefit not only to you, your extended family, but to the extended family of God as well. But again, it's all predicated on the fact that there were grounds for divorce to begin with.
sure.
And just one other thing real quickly, you can't unscramble the egg. What I mean by that is, I mean, you're divorced. If your husband is dead or your husband has gotten remarried, I mean, you can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. If there are those opportunities for reconciliation, as Christians, we should always work towards them. But once that possibility is closed to us, it's closed to us. You can't put it back together.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Thanks for your call. Again, the article, Biblical Grounds for Divorce and Remarriage, it was carried in the Christian Research Journal. You can find it on the web, or if you hang on, we can get a copy into your hands via the phone call as well. When we get back from the other side of the break, more answers right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults on sanity have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, you know nothing less than civilization is at stake when ideology trumps reality or when psychology trumps biology. That's wokeism in a nutshell. The threat is not only critical, it's urgent, which is why Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. You won't want to miss the special issue of the Christian Research Journal that contains everything you need to know about the cult of wokeism and its impact on Western civilization. You'll read sobering articles with penetrating analysis of the social and mental disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandementia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org, that's equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI, that's 888-7000-CRI.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Why not drop us a line at CRI today? We'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us several ways. You can call us toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Also, write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Or if you're on the internet, look us up at www.equip.org. And now, once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, thank you much, Randy. Right back to our phone calls. Next up is Leanne. She's listening in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Leanne.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I just want to say I caught your broadcast just maybe a few times last week, and I just really get a lot from listening to you. You're very smart, and God has really gifted you with great understanding. So I'm very grateful I stumbled upon your broadcast. But my question is, I was, you know, the New Testament for me is always easier to understand than the Old Testament. But I was reading this morning the first chapter of Hosea, and got a little confused, and then I started reading some commentary about how, you know, Israel was like, you know, unfaithful to God, of course, and that's why he was telling the person to marry Gomer. And then I even got more confused. Can you just kind of enlighten me on what that really is about and what that all means?
Sure. And I think you already touched on it, so you've got a good perception with respect to it already. But Hosea's marriage to the prostitute Gomer was a poignant parallel to God's wedding covenant with his people Israel. And though Gomer repeatedly chases other lovers, Hosea doggedly pursues reconciliation and relationship with his bride. So what you have here is the love of Hosea for Gomer becoming emblematic of God's love for his prostituted bride. The prostituted bride was supposed to be a light to the nations, but instead she prostituted herself with other nations, became like those nations, partook of their evil, their child sacrifice, their detestable ways. And of course, what is going to happen as a result of that is you're going to have the Assyrians that come, and they are going to wrench apart a nation, a people of God. And later on, the Babylonians are going to come and take the southern kingdom. So as a result of the sin of the unfaithfulness of God's people, there would be dire consequences. Just as Israel was the axe of God's judgment against Canaan, so Assyria and Babylonia would be the axe of God's judgment against the northern and the southern kingdom. And God uses earthly perceptible realities to point to spiritual realities, and that's precisely what's going on here.
Okay, that's what I thought. And okay, that's what I thought. It's just the Old Testament is just a little bit more difficult to kind of, you know, understand sometimes, but that's what I thought was going on. And it kind of threw me in a way, because sometimes the language of Hosea seemed, I guess, was God a little bit more angry there? Is that correct that I'm picking up on that?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. You know, okay. God is not only angry, but disgusted. He has given his people every single benefit. He has given them a land of milk and honey. He's given them intimacy with himself. He's revealed himself to them in a very unique and poignant and profound way. He's spoken to them through the prophets, prophets like Hosea, and yet they continue to turn away from him. So verse by verse, what emerges is this painful picture of a people who prostitute themselves with pagan deities. And it culminates at the end in Hosea's lament over a people who love the wages of a prostitute at every threshing floor. And that image, of course, is replete with meaning. Not only was the threshing floor a place of intimacy in which the kinsman redeemer spread the corner of his garment over Ruth, but the very temple itself would be built upon that threshing floor. Unlike Ruth, however, the prostituted bride had little interest in seeking intimacy with God in his temple. Instead, she craved intimacy with foreign gods on the threshing floors of perverse temples, the temples of pagan gods. And so you have this really, it's beautiful, it's poignant, it's profound, it's also supremely distressing. And we find ourselves in those same places, just as individuals, by way of making an adaptation to our own personal lives. So often the good that we would, we do not, in the words of Paul, and the evil that we would not, we do. And so we cry out, who can save us from this body of death? But God is here continuing to wrestle with his people. And so just as Hosea is not giving up on Gomer, he continues to pursue her. Here you have a picture of God who's not only angry, but continues to pursue his people. He's angry over their sin, but he does not forsake his people. He continues to pursue them.
Okay. Okay, well, that. Thank you so much. That really helps to clear it up. I think I was kind of on that. I just was kind of thinking, is God really angry? But then, yeah, he was. So that makes a lot more sense than just even reading more of the whole book itself.
Well, so Leanne, so I appreciate your call.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Rod in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Rod.
Good evening, Hank. Really appreciate your ministry, and God bless you. And I just hope that someday in the future, God will provide someone, when you do retire, to continue your ministry.
Well, thank you.
My question is, in this abortion mill world that we live in, and believing that life begins at conception, and I believe that these are children in God's eyes, will an aborted life be able to identify their parents in heaven and have a communication with them in heaven?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's absolute certainty of that. We're not going to have less knowledge. We're going to have more knowledge. And those who have been aborted, as you say, they are those that don't have a fully developed personality when they're aborted, obviously they don't, but they do have full personhood from the moment of conception. And in resurrection, their DNA, as it were, will flower to complete perfection, and they will be what they would have been had sin never entered the world. So they will undergo, as it were, metamorphosis, you know, like the caterpillar becoming a butterfly, and they will forever exist in the flower of their youth, which is at the very peak of their existence, determined by what their DNA would have been or was. And will they know then, yeah, if their parents are in heaven, if their parents have come into relationship with Christ, intimacy with Christ, they'll be in heaven and there'll be a reunion. There'll be a reconciliation. That doesn't in any way mitigate the horrors of abortion, but it does show that God's love is surpassingly great. Now, that does not mean that we can sin with impunity, because no matter what that sin is, whether it's abortion or adultery or whatever it happens to be, consequences of sin follow inexorably, like night follows day. But God's forgiveness is the overarching theme that we have in Scripture. If we turn to him, if we fall upon his mercy, we can be forgiven not only in time, but also in eternity. The quintessential picture of that, of course, is David. David murders Uriah. He takes his wife Bathsheba. He takes a census, demonstrating he's not trusting in the Lord, and so forth. Many, many sins. And yet, David is very contrite. Save me from blood guilt, O God, he cries, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. And because of his contrition, God forgives him. The sword never leaves his family, but God forgives him. And so in certainty, David would know that child that he lost, the child that he had with Bathsheba. He will know that child in eternity. So in eternity, all those things will be reconciled in God's grace and in his goodness. One of the things we have to realize, though, is there are degrees of reward in heaven, just as there are degrees of punishment in hell.
Well, Hank, thank you for your ministry, and we pray for you and all those who are the apologists of this world to help us through these issues and concerns. Just thank you for your ministry.
Hey, thank you so much, Rod. You've encouraged me. And let me say this. Our ministry is a global ministry. It is making a difference not only in the U.S. through the Bible Answer Man broadcast and our ministry outreaches here. The need for our ministry around the globe is simply stunning. As I was training missionaries personally, I came face to face with that need. They are so desirous to have our materials in apologetics, biblical literacy, countering the cults, these fact sheets we have, the flip charts we have, the information translated into the languages where they minister so that they can have the ammunition that they need to be faithful and fruitful and to make certain that those that come to faith in Christ are not like tumbleweed without root, but rather grow with deep roots, and therefore their legacy will continue in the lives of others as well. We thank all of those that make that ministry possible around the world. When you give this month, please remember that you're not giving to us, but through us, touching the lives of people all over the world. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org. Look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.